Andy Holding's Racing Podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Welcome to the William Hill Irish Racing Preview with Alex Stone and Andy Holding, looking ahead to Dundalk's card on Friday evening. Seven races to look forward to at Dundalk, and seven competitive enough affairs, maybe not the runners again that we used to on some meetings. A few races when we're maybe struggling a little bit for our each way terms, if you like. But nevertheless, there's winners to be found, and the man charged with picking those winners is one Mr. Andrew Holding. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning, Alex.
How are you?
Yeah, pretty good.
Good.
Pretty good.
Good.
It's a sure sign that the Irish flat season is around the corner, because we've got a relatively thin-looking card tonight, runners-wise. That maiden basically sums it up, the 905, where there are only five runners and Gerline's got two of them.
Yeah.
But the rest of it, yeah, a lot of the old favourites are all there. I think everyone who listens to the podcast now should know these first-name terms now.
Yeah, that is true. And of course, you're in the studio today.
I am, yeah. Same as last week. Quick podcast before I dash into the car and fly up.
Good. And then tomorrow we've got plenty to look forward to as well.
We have.
We're going on early as well tomorrow, listeners. 12:30 start on William Hill Racing Radio for all the action from Maidan. We're going to try and squeeze in as much as we can from everywhere tomorrow, because there really is something for everyone, isn't there?
Yeah, set your alarms, isn't it, really, tomorrow? Mm. It's not as going to be as manic as it was last Saturday, because we had five or six jump meters, isn't it? And we had hardly time to pause and to analyse each race. So I'm quite glad the flat is actually on us and I get a chance to speak.
Yeah, I think we've got six meetings tomorrow that we'll be taking on the radio, but I think four of them are flat.
Yeah.
So hopefully we'll be able to manoeuvre our way around them in some shape or form.
It's like, here's a betting show, and they're off and running. And
it probably
here's the result, and we've got to go to Stratford.
Yeah, but we'll get as many picks out as we can. But it should be good anyway.
It should be, yeah.
Make sure you tune in. Okay, we'll dive into the Dundalk card then, Andy, and we'll start with the 6.05, which is a handicap over six furlongs, just the five go to post. This won't take much winning, will it?
No, it won't, no. Interesting runner here for podcasters with a really good memory. A horse called Octavia was a horse I selected way back in November as a filly to stand the right side of. And although she kind of let us down to a small degree, I think there was enough taken out of that performance to suggest we would get our money back with her some way down the line. We've had to wait the best part of 5 months to get stuck into her again. But she pops up here in this really weak handicap, where quite a few of these are difficult to fancy with any great positivity. So I'm going to select Octavia here, largely due to that run last time we saw her. Quite why she hasn't been on the track subsequently is anyone's guess. Maybe she's just taken a little bit of time to come to herself, and Davy Marnane at the time just roughed her off for the season, thinking, well, I'll run her in a handicap and then see how we get on, and then just give her a little bit more time. And that seems to be what he's done. But I thought she ran, like I say, more encouragingly than the official position suggests. She was slowly away, got towards the rear, raced keenly, and then did some good work late on when Conor King really didn't put the foot down totally to the floor. And I thought there was a lot left in the tank going past the line. It was a bit annoying, really, that she was out the frame. But she's run well here on the two runs at Dundalk, in better company than this. And hopefully tonight is the night that she can show what she can do. Also, keep an eye on the Demelzer. She's also caught the arse several times in races that she couldn't win. I think she's quite well handicapped off a mark of 57. And that stable definitely know the time of day here with one or two winners down the line. But I'm going to go with Octavia. Hopefully tonight we'll see David Marnane's filly coming to her own.
Okay. The second race is the 6.35, a handicap over 2 miles. Not a great deal of winning form brought to the table here, Andy. Indeed, not a great deal of placed form of late either. Asian Wing heads affairs and is at least consistent, if nothing else, but a bit unspectacular. But then again, does anything in this race have the wow factor for you, Andy?
Not really, no. I'm only really left with a couple of horses to concentrate on here, and one of them surely has to be the favourite, Asian Wing, from the stable of James Fean, who as we well know, has been doing really well in the last year or two here at Dundalk. He seems to just know the right kind of horse, and he places his horses work really well, mostly with his sprinters, in all fairness. So this one's going to be a bit of a culture shock for him here, running Asian Wing over 2 miles. I don't think Asian Wing's ever run over 2 miles before, but he certainly shapes as though he'll be suited by it. He certainly stays on very strongly in his races, and he caught the eye the last day when he was third behind Poker Gold, and the subsequent dual winner, Christie's Call, who's thanked the form a couple of times subsequently back in the field, was well insured, has also won since. So I think this is okay form to get involved in here. And like I say, he's anyone one you can really fancy with any good degree of confidence. Glass and Lad would be an interesting one as well for those of you seeking solace in a much bigger price. He ran in the race at Knight's Parade, warmed up for his Cheltenham Festival exploits back in February, and this horse does stay particularly well. We've obviously got to mention Well Insured as well, who also gets a trip and could well be dangerous despite a couple of indifferent runs on his last couple of starts. But a really weak race, not that many can be fancied. I've just chucked a few in the hat, really, just to give you a bit of an interest if you're looking at this race. I'll go with Asian Wing, but like I say, I think Glass and Lad's a big price at 16-1 also.
OK, 7.05 coming up is a race over a mile. We've got 9 runners starting to go to post here, Andy, and this is a pretty decent race. You've got the well-backed, or at the time of recording at least, 92-7-2 on Hat Al-Nassar for Mickey Halford and Conor Hoban. Indian Tomahawk and Navigante are next in, as well as Myra at 4-1, so a really compacted market. Some of these bring some pretty solid form to the table. Some have found winning hard to come by so far, but this should all sort of add up to be quite an intriguing little contest.
Yeah, this is the best race on the card, really, for competitiveness. The 7.35 is probably hot on its heels, but at least we can have an each-way bet in this race where there's only 6 or 7 runners in the next. I think the front three in the market here are absolutely virtually hard to split, and judging my figures, there's hardly counterpoint between them. Indian Tomahawk beat 2 subsequent winners way back in November in the visor, which worked for the second time. Is his second run on turf and on the all weather, and his speed figure was quite good. He beat Charlie Bear and Sergeant Rock. Obviously, Charlie Bear's improved immeasurably subsequently. We haven't seen Sergeant Rock since he won afterwards, but both of them look as though they're progressive types. So it was a really good victory by Michael O'Callaghan's 3-year-old. He's certainly worthy of his position in the market. I like Hat Al-Nassar. I think he's going the right way. He caught the eye on debut in the race that was won by Charlie Bear. He progressed then to Chase Am Song of Love, and then he made all the running when he beat Marinella the last day. Interesting that Conor Hoban's chosen him. Shane Foley actually is riding Myra as well. He's been a little bit of a frustrating filly. For those of you that place potting it and doing some each-way doubles during the afternoon, then you'd probably look towards Myra to be in the frame. She travels really well, but unfortunately she hasn't found the greatest amount off the bridle in the last 2 or 3 starts, having looked like the winner. I think she's traded at 33 on and 6-1 on in running, so she's obviously got question marks about putting it all in. If there's a strong finisher up against her, she's likely to finish second again. But like I say, if you're backing her each way, putting your place spots or place only betting, then you didn't care one jot about that if you're uninterested in that side of the bet. So a difficult race to really evaluate properly and get a real handle on. Obviously, Indian Tomahawk looks the one to beat on that form when beating Charlie Bear and Sergeant Watt. But I like the way that Hat Al-Nassar's progressing, and I'll go with him from the Mickey Halford stable.
OK, the fourth race on the card is 7.35, a handicap over 7 furlongs, and plenty of old favourites in this one. Only 6 down to go to post, but all 6 we know well from their exploits here. All 6 have a course victory to their name, at least one anyway. And all 6 have got a squeak here as well, Andy.
They have, yeah. There's not that many bets for me tonight here at Dundalk, because I think the market's about right. But I do think bookmakers this morning have dropped a little bit of a clanger, not an absolute cataclysmic rick, but I think Bo Satcher was overpriced this morning. I vowed myself at the 10-1 early show, currently 8-1, 15-2, generally across the board. I think this horse is about a 6-1 chance, 5-6-1 chance on my numbers and my sheet. So at the prices, like I say, I had to play, largely due to the fact that he ran a really good race on his comeback last week. I napped him last week, and my assessment of him afterwards was that I thought it was a slowly run race, tactical affair. He raced a bit keenly. He got into the race too early, if you like, for him. And the lack of a recent run just took its toll because he was in front too soon, and he set it up for the Dancing Lord as a strong finisher. If those two horses ever met again, I thought Bowsatch would turn the form around. But he's in slightly deeper waters here. This is a much, much difficult, more difficult race. You know, he's gone from running in 0 to sort of like a 0 to 80 now into horses that usually run in 0 to 100 races, like Satogaville, Rummaging, Burn the Boat. These are proper horses. And whether he's quite good enough, I don't know. But at the price, I'm going to have to play him. Obviously, you know, the likes of Rummaging and Togaville are in great form. They set a real high standard. Their speed figures have been excellent in much better races than this. But I do like the way that Bo Satchel travels. He's got a sharp turn of foot. And I just thought he was worth punting at the price. So Bo Satchel, for those of us that did our money with him at a short price last week, get a chance to give the sort of like dip our toe in the water in a much tougher race at a much bigger price.
Okay, Bo Satchel then in the 7.35. The 8.05 is next up. It's a handicap over 7 furlongs. And a real sort of mix of different profiles of horses coming into this one. Andy, you've got the likes of Shabra Emperor, Twists and Turns, Sar Paul, who are thoroughly exposed. We know exactly what they're capable of and perform to a similar level each and every time they run. And then you've got a whole load of completely unexposed types that really could be anything. What do you fancy here?
Yeah, this is quite a trappy one. Nothing really stands out, as it were. I think the three to concentrate on are Moss Nation, Shabra Emperor, and Tsar Paul, all regular horses that turn up here week in, week out, and horses that I've tipped on the podcast at least two or three times over. It'd probably be a dead heat between Shabra Emperor and Tsar Paul, I'd imagine, who's got the most numerical votes. But Shabra Emperor is a horse dear to my heart. He's a horse I've tipped probably four or five times throughout the winter, and he has managed to pop up and win at least one of them, but he's been placed on several other occasions, so I don't think we're doing too much money with him. He never really got in the race the other night, which is slightly disappointing because I thought he'd run really well. But probably his position, and never near a seventh at the finish, was about all he could have hoped for, given how the race panned out. He does like a very, very strongly run race. The faster they go, the better for Shabra Emperor, because he does come home quite strong down the lane. And his jockey really has only one chance on him, and that's to bring him out wide in the home straight. Frambrough gets on really well with him. He got a good tune out of him the time before when runner-up behind that. Have a nice day. So he'll know how to ride him. He'll probably just drop him out from stall four, slingshot the field, bring him wide, and we've just got to hope that he's got the running in his legs. They've gone quite quick enough for him down the lane. Certainly Moss Nation deserves to be favourite. He got a great draw the last day, but she hasn't got such a good draw tonight. She's drawn in stall 11, so I don't think 130 is great value, albeit I do think she's got a chance. And Tsar Paul was the other one I mentioned with a bit of a squeak. He also ran well in that race that Moss Nation was second in. But Shabra Emperor, a regular choice for me on the podcast, and I'm not going to let the supporters down again with choosing him tonight.
OK, Shabra Emperor then in the 8.05. The penultimate race on Dundalk's card is the 8.35, a maiden over a mile and a half. And Tennessee Waltz heads affairs at the time of recording, Andy, from Mazzetta. They're the two that the market are focusing on here. Do you make it between those two?
I do, yeah. I'm going to go with Tennessee Waltz. I think the 13-8 with William Hill early doors is going to be under pressure, and I think this horse will probably go off a 5-4 shot. Certainly, on my reckoning, is the one to beat here from a stable that doesn't have that many horses. But what they've done with Tennessee Waltz so far has got to be commended. A 66-1 poke on debut, caught the eye after being slowly away to do some good late work to finish within four lengths of Balmont Blast. Stepped up in trip, probably given a bit too much to do by Shamie Heffernan in a tactically run affair, was doing all its best work at the end to suggest that A, it was unlucky, and B, that perhaps an extra furlong and a half wouldn't come amiss for this horse, who's got a deep pedigree with regard to stamina, in a really, really weak race where Mazzetta looks the only possible danger on form, and she's yet to prove herself over the trip. I'd have to go with Tennessee Waltz to get favourite backers back in the game if they're struggling early on in the card.
OK, and the final race is the 9.05, a maiden over 1 mile, 2.5 furlongs. You mentioned there's only five runners down to go to post here, but you could give a chance to probably three of them, or at least that's what the market is saying. Pod Deux is the one that's been backed off the boards today. Opened up 10 to 11, 1 to 2 at the time of recording. Then we've got Don Camillo in at 7 to 2 and Master of Mayhem at 4s. You'd imagine that the last two named there will be nice enough types, but Pod Deux being backed as though defeats out the question here, Andy.
Yeah, particularly so much activity early in the morning. Usually punters in Ireland like to sort of like have an early joust and to see how the market's panning out. But this one is basically screaming at you that Pod Deux is the only runner that we should be concentrating on here in this race. obviously the unknown brigade, the unraced brigade from the Joe Lyon stable have to be factored in. But they look friendly this morning, Azuri and Master of Mayhem, very easy to back. Don Camillo, he ran first time up here in a mile maiden, was won by Shannon Soul. He didn't really do a lot from the two Furlong pole once he was put under pressure. I think he's a type to improve in time, but this is all about Paul Dier. She's got a pedigree that's screaming at you middle distances. So this looks a good starting point for John Ox's filly this season to get off the mark. I'm sure better things will come from her. But she's running three very hot maidens already at the Curran, Avon and Leopardstown respectively. She was only the one pace late on behind Aidan O'Brien's filly Easter, but that horse is very much strongly fancied for one or two of the pattern races on the horizon early on in the season. So it's certainly no disgrace to finish third there. And it's very unusual for John Ox to have won out so early and very confident in the market, because he often takes a month or two to get things cranked up into gear to John Ox. So I think all the clues are there. And if you are following the market and you're following the form, then you look no further than Paul Dier.
OK, Paul Dier in the finale. Great stuff, Mr. Holding. We'll hear you on the radio in just a few hours. But thanks for your time. Best luck with your picks and we'll see you soon.
Thanks, pal. See you soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.